You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
And just like that, kicking off hour number three of the show, it's Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio, 920 on this Tuesday. Got cover three NFL news and notes coming up in just a hot minute. Before we get into that, though, I did want to throw the question out there to you on the text line or the phone lines. 702-365-9200. It's the same for both. If the Raiders plan on being active in free agency, which Tom Telesco said that they will be, where do you want to see that money invested when it comes to free agents outside of the building? They've got a lot of inside the building free agents, but outside the building, where would you like to see it spent? Not necessarily on certain players, but certain positions is what I'm looking for. Again, 702-365-9200. Got this really lengthy text from Magic in Indy. We'll go ahead and get to this one. He says, yo, Q, I want to preface this by saying I'm not a fan of Russell Wilson. In my opinion, the man is a huge D-bag. However, because of his cost, I believe we need to ask ourselves what he would bring to the table as our quarterback. Looking at the stats, Wilson is one of the best in the league at throwing the deep ball, which fits the run-first, play-action, deep-pass offense that you've been discussing from Michael Penix. I believe if that type of offense is the plan, then we have to take a long look at Wilson. Then we can focus on building a monster on defense. Trade into that 5-7 range to take Byron Murphy and sign Leonard Williams or Christian Wilkins. Also could target Joe Milton in the fourth with plans to sit him for a year or two. What are your thoughts? Love the show, brother. That's Magic in Indy. Really good text, my man. And, you know, that's the thing about it. If the Raiders do and go get a veteran that they feel comfortable with and they don't have to give up any draft capital for him, don't have to move up, then maybe you go and do exactly what Magic just said. You address the interior of the defensive line. You go and draft a quarterback in the later round like a Milton and maybe let him sit for a while. I mean, I think that everyone, including myself, I know for me, I can only speak for me, but I know for me, I got my mind set on Jaden Daniels. Like, that's the guy that I want. Just like a few years ago, I wanted Jalen Hurts. Like, that was the guy for me. Like, that was the quarterback that I thought that the Raiders should get. Obviously, they didn't. He goes to Philadelphia. The rest is history. But that was the dude. It's like, all right, so for me, Jaden Daniels is that guy. Now, that doesn't mean that the Raiders are going to go get him. They can go in so many different directions. But they also could do similar to what Magic just said, sign a veteran, preferably a cheaper one, and then go and address many different positions. Like the, you know, like the defensive line. Maybe go in free agency and go get a Christian Wilkins. Leonard Williams will kind of out on him just because I don't think that he's really got too much left in the tank. But, you know, that's just me. So, thanks so much for that text. It's really good. Lengthy text, Magic. We appreciate you. So, keep those texts coming. You can also hit us up on the phone line. It's all the same number, 702-365-9200. With all that being said, let's go ahead and jump into Cover 3.
It's time for Q's Cover 3 on Unnecessary Roughness.
Second and 5. Ball batted up into the air and caught by Jackson. He caught his own pass.
NFL news and notes of the day. Right here on Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
So today for Cover 3, I just wanted to go over some news and notes when it came to the franchise tag, when it came to the transition tag, guys that have not been tagged and guys that have been release. So we'll go through it. We won't spend a whole lot of time with it, but the Panthers, they placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on Brian Burns. Brian Burns is 25 years old. He had 8 sacks for Carolina in 2023, bringing his career total to 46. The edge rusher will earn $24 million guaranteed in 2024. The only question, the only question I have when it comes to Brian Burns and the Carolina Panthers is, what are they doing? What are they doing? We talked to Sheena Quick last week at the Combine in Indy, and she covers the Panthers. And I asked her even then, what are the Panthers doing with Brian Burns? Why do they insist on holding on to him when all these teams have expressed interest in trading, giving up a first-round pick for him, and they just keep holding on and holding on and holding on? I get it. He's a really good edge rusher, but he's not getting it done for him. They need players, right? They need to add. They don't have any first-round pick this year because of the Bryce Young trade. This would be an ideal time to trade him, and maybe that's why they put the franchise tag on him, hoping that a team is still going to try to trade for him. I don't see it, but there you go. Carolina, maybe that's the reason why Carolina's still Carolina. Regardless who the head coach is, they're making bad decisions. So he's going to make $24 million guaranteed just on the non-exclusive franchise tag, with the Carolina Panthers. The Bengals, talk about non-exclusive franchise tag. They put that on T. Higgins, wide receiver T. Higgins, on February 26th. He went through injuries through 2023, only had 42 catches, 656 yards, and 5 TDs. He's set to make $21.8 million in 2024, guaranteed, because, again, because he's on that franchise tag. And that's a situation where you look at it, and I think it's a probably sign-and-trade. I think that that's ideally what they're going to look to do, is hope that a team wants to sign T. Higgins, and so they sign him, and then they're able to trade him, and they're able to get some get a lot of capital in return. I don't think, and it's just a gut feeling, and talking to some people that covered the Bengals while I was at the Combine, don't think T. Higgins is actually going to play with Cincinnati in 2024. But I could be wrong. We'll see. Kansas City Chiefs, they put their non-exclusive tag on Legarius Sneed. They did that on yesterday. Matter of fact, they've granted Sneed permission to seek a trade. So there's a good chance that he's not in Kansas City next year. He's set to make $19.8 million on the franchise tag. Again, all these are fully guaranteed one-year deals. Remember, when you get hit with the franchise tag, all fully guaranteed one-year deals. But looks like Legarius Sneed, the Chiefs are trying to do the same thing with him that the Bengals are trying to do with T. Higgins, where they get a sign and trade, and hopefully they find a team, in their opinion, that is interested in trading for the corner that was really good in Kansas City a year ago. But is he going to be that same guy out on the open market? Of course, that's something to be careful for if you're a team that's out there trying to make a move. And I like Legarius Sneed a lot, but he's looking for break-the-bank type money. And I don't blame him, right? I don't blame any player that wants to get that break-the-bank type money, but just don't know if he's going to be worth it when it's all said and done. But they put the non-exclusive tag on Legarius Sneed. The Buccaneers, they officially placed a franchise tag on safety Antoine Winfield Jr., and they said that that's a placeholder. The two sides are trying to hammer out a long-term deal, and they're going to continue to work on that until they get it done. But what that means, after signing Mike Evans to a two-year deal, is that quarterback Baker Mayfield is going to be a free agent. Now, they can still work on getting the deal done with Baker before the new league year opens up on March 13th, but starting on March 11th, teams could start to legally tamper with Baker Mayfield, which I'm actually kind of surprised happened. I thought that there was no doubt that Antoine Winfield would get that deal done before the franchise tag, you know, you had to have that placement on earlier today at 1 p.m. Pacific time. It did not happen. I'm surprised that Baker Mayfield, they're exposing him like that and allowing him to potentially hit free agency. So there's teams out there that could be interested. Hell, the Raiders could be interested. Right, I've seen people hit us up in Texas and say, hey, go after Baker Mayfield. And I keep saying, he's not going to be anywhere. He's going to be back in Tampa Bay. He's going to get franchised. He didn't. So there's a good chance, unless they get that deal done by next Monday is the 11th. That's when the legal tampering period opens. Every team across the league, if they're interested in one Baker Mayfield, they could reach out and try to offer him some kind of deal as he'll be a free agent. So that's something to pay attention to. Mike Evans, back on a two-year deal. Antoine Winfield, they're going to work out a long-term deal. They've got the franchise tag on them. Baker Mayfield's kind of flying in the wind right now in Tampa Bay. My guy got franchised earlier today. The Ravens put the franchise tag on defensive tackle Justin Madubuike. He had 13 sacks in 2023, the most by a Ravens player in the last 9 years. Think about that. When you know Baltimore has a history of defensive players, that is the most sacks by a Raven in the last 9 years. He also tied an NFL record by recording at least a half a sack in 11 consecutive games. So he's got hit with the franchise tag. We found that out last week while we were at the Combine, that the Ravens said if they didn't come to agreement on a long-term deal, they were going to hit him with the franchise tag. But that was the guy. That was the guy that I was looking at. 26 years old, really starting to come into his own and be that guy. It would be fantastic to see the Raiders get a dude like that. That is really kind of in his prime, and you know he's got a handful of good years still left, so you wouldn't feel bad about giving that free agent money up to him. He's right there in the sweet spot, 26 years old, but that's exactly why the Baltimore Ravens are like, yeah, ain't giving that guy up, because he's right there, what Q just said, in that sweet spot. So Justin Madubuike gets hit with the franchise tag by way of the Baltimore Ravens. The Bears, we had this guy talked about earlier today on the show. The Bears placed a franchise tag on cornerback Jalen Johnson. He had four interceptions, in 2023. Two of them came against the Raiders. One pick six came against the Raiders. But four interceptions, he's going to make $19.8 million for the one season. Ryan Poles said at the Combine that they're in the process of getting a deal done, and the conversations are going really well at the time. So they're just going to, you know, use that as a placeholder, trying to get that long-term deal done. I'm sure it will get done. But the young man coming out of, Fresno, California, he went to Utah. I thought he was a hell of a player when he was in college, thought he was a hell of a player when he was in high school. Looks like he's going to stay in the Windy City and get that long-term deal done. But for right now, he's got hit with the franchise tag. Another guy got hit with the franchise tag today as we're going around the league right now. As those are all in place now. The Colts, they placed a franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr., the wide receiver. That's worth $21.8 million. They've been working on a long-term deal as well, and they figure that they're going to get a deal done before the deadline to get all these deals done, or the players got to play on the one-year deal. But I was kind of surprised. I didn't think that Michael Pittman was going to get hit with the franchise tag, but then everything that I was reading afterwards is that they want to make sure that they have at least one solid dude for Anthony Richardson since he's coming back from injury. Want to make sure that they have a solid, weapon at that for the quarterback when he comes back. So there you go, Michael Pittman hit with the franchise tag there in Indianapolis. And one more, the Jaguars placed a franchise tag on Josh Allen. They said both sides had great communications the past few days, just didn't get the deal done. So they're still going to work on a long-term deal as well. So in Jacksonville, they put the franchise tag on Josh Allen. As far as transition tags go, free agent safety Kyle Duggar from the Patriots got hit with the transition tag. That'll keep him off the market and give the Patriots any chance to match any offer. Also, what that means is that Patriots offensive lineman Mike Onwenu won't be tagged, and he'll be a free agent. So if you're looking for offensive line help, maybe that's a guy right there. He was a guy that I believe a lot of Raider Nation called in and talked about around the trade deadline and thought that the Raiders might want to make a move for him just because he seemed like he was a guy that could be potentially on the open market. Well, he's going to be out there on the open market right now. Offensive lineman didn't get hit with any kind of a tag. Kyle Duggar, the safety from the Patriots, did. And then guys that didn't get tagged, Saquon Barkley didn't get tagged, so he could be a free agent. And the weird thing about Saquon Barkley, and this is according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, said the Ravens, the Raiders, the Bears, the Patriots, the Texans, and the Eagles are some primary potential suitors that have the resources, need, and interest to possibly sign Saquon Barkley. I don't see Saquon Barkley as being a Raider. I don't see it at all. I just feel like we were talking with John McClain earlier in the show, that's just throwing the Raiders' name in there to be a little bit juicier. I don't see that. Realistically, I see Saquon Barkley as maybe a Giant, maybe a Texan, maybe an Eagle. Like, I mean, I don't see this huge market for Saquon Barkley like he's the end-all, be-all. Because I don't see this huge market for Josh Jacobs either, right? And I'm a Josh Jacobs guy. But I believe that the Raiders have a lot of interest in bringing Josh Jacobs back. I think that they have way more interest in bringing Josh in than they do bringing Saquon Barkley in. I just don't see it. So I think that this is one of those, like John McClain said, agent-created list of teams to kind of make it sound a little juicier. There's no way I believe the Baltimore Ravens are interested in Saquon Barkley. The Baltimore Ravens have never been a one running back team. Never. And Saquon Barkley is a bell cow running back. They've never been that team. I don't see Baltimore. They always have like three or four running backs. The Bears, I guess maybe. Patriots, maybe. Texans, I could see. That I think that makes all the sense in the world. A team that feels like that they're in a pretty good position. They would like a guy that's an end-all, be-all kind of running back and has some weapons around C.J. Stroud. I could easily see that. In Philadelphia, I think there's some questions, but I could see that. But these other ones, I feel like the agent definitely generated that. Also, as many of us have noted, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from the Dolphins, he didn't get franchised, so he's able to hit free agency. He's a guy that's going to be available. He's only 28 years old. I think he's got a couple years left where he can have some real good quality play. He's a guy that the Raiders could very well have some interest in. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. And the final note for you, and then we'll get to H in Albuquerque, the Seahawks released three-time Pro Bowler safeties Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. The move saved $27.5 million in cash and significant cap space for Seattle, which is going to go in a different direction in the Mike McDonald era, and which is, well, I mean, I guess it kind of shows you how bad the Jamal Adams move was, Because you would think that Mike McDonald, who's a defensive-minded head coach, coming over from the Baltimore Ravens, would want to have some defensive dudes. Quandre Diggs is a playmaker. Jamal Adams has just been – he's been a struggle. He's been on the struggle bus since the Seahawks made that trade with the New York Jets. So, you know, they're going to go in a different direction with their safeties. They also released tight end Will Disley, which is just, you know, another move, another part of the purge that a lot of teams around the league are making as they're setting themselves up for next week in free agency when the legal tampering period begins on Monday. So there you go. That's the kind of notes that I have for you. I just wanted to go around the league and kind of get you updated on everyone that got hit with the franchise tag or the transition tag. Each and every year, it's usually around that sweet spot, around 6 to 8 guys that you know are going to get hit with the tag. And this year, it was basically the exact same. It was, let's see, how many players was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8 guys. Justin Madubuike, Brian Burns, Jalen Johnson, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Josh Allen, Jerry Sneed, and Antoine Winfield. And then one guy got hit with the transition tag in Kyle Duggar, the safety from the Patriots. So there you go again, cover 3, NFL news and notes of the day. We'll do that on the regular, just get you updated on everything that's going on across the National Football League and also kind of get you updated on anything that may be of interest when it comes to the Raiders as well. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Let's hear from our guy H in Albuquerque. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Q, how you doing?
Fantastic, brother.
Hey, you know, in answer to your question, you know, if I'm the GM, there's a couple of areas that we can definitely stand some significant improvement upon, you know, interior defensive line, interior offensive line. A lot of talk has been about a right tackle. But I think Illuminar did a decent job. I think the interior of the line is more critical. And then, of course, the cornerback on the other side of Jack Jones. So I'm looking at, you know, there was a couple names that I was excited about, and you said they were tagged, Jalen Johnson and the dude from the Ravens. Yeah. But Christian Wilkins was another one. You know, like you said, he's the right age. He's pretty productive. I think he would improve our interior defensive line quite a bit. You know, so I said the other day, Aaron Murphy was on my first round list, non-quarterback, but we also have other needs. So if we were able to sign like Christian Wilkins, then the need for the corner becomes greater. Then we can draft Tyrion Arnold, perhaps.
Yeah,
with 13th pick, assuming we can't get up for the quarterback we all want. So that's basically what I would do.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff, H. It's always great to hear from you. And yeah, see, that's the thing about it. There's different options. There's different ways that the Raiders could attack this. And I think that they're in a really good spot, even though it feels like with the number 13 overall pick, they're not really in a great spot. You know, they're not in the spot where they can necessarily go get the quarterback that they want. But there's so many different options there. And, you know, going in, attacking the interior, you know, like you said, through free agency, okay, that opens you up to be able to go and get the best corner. Or if you decide that corner's not what you want to do, you can go in and attack the interior in the draft, you know, and maybe you can move up. I mean, it's like they're almost in a 3-point stance where they could do multiple different things from where they're at. So I like the approach. Plus, free agency is going to also tell us a lot about the different options that they have once they hit. I mean, next week's going to be crazy, right? When we take the airwaves on Monday, the legal tampering period will be open. And who knows what we'll be talking about, and who knows what deals will already be agreed upon. Just haven't signed because you can't sign until the new league year opens on the 13th. Let's hear from Raider X. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Raider X?
Hey, welcome back to the West Coast.
Oh, man, the best coast. I need to stay on the West Coast. I'll never need to go to the Eastern time zone again.
Hey, it's the most that's on the West Coast, bro. Hey, so, yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I wanted to talk about with the last caller just called in about, you know, the different varieties that you can do. You know, like you said, you know, going in and actually going and getting Wilkerson, you know, I know that right now everybody's also looking at Chris Jones, but, you know, Wilkerson is 2 years younger. You know, he just, you know, turned 28. I think Chris Jones, by the time he started playing in this next season, he's going to be 30. So, you know, looking at that age difference. But, you know, it gives you the ability. Right now you're thinking about they're going to make one big splash. You know, where's that big splash going to be? Is it going to be a cornerback? Is it going to be on that D-line? But now it gives you a variety of what you can draft at. You know, you go in and get that cornerback, or let's say they go big splash on that offensive line. You know, how nice would it be to go pick up a nice stud as a tackle, or go in there, you know, and get in the brotherhood that we all struggle with his last name. dude that moves smooth. I mean, solid as a rock, or getting alt, you know, alt's easy to say. But,
yes.
You know, I mean, that was it's be a beautiful blessing to sit there and have that. And like I saw a quote from Anthony Pierce about how he would love to get a corner that is a priority,
yep.
that he can actually mask his man to man or his making zone. So you have that ability. I mean, that right there would make a huge difference. Right tackle and getting a line and a cornerback. If we have the ability, a second round pick or move up into the first and get that quarterback, dude, we're set. I'm sign me up for that all day. Every day and on Sunday, like you said.
I like it. I like it.
Great talking to you, brother. Have a good one, man.
You too, my man. Thanks so much for the call, man. Good stuff. Yeah, that's, like I said, there's a bunch of different ways, and I didn't even bring in the offensive lineman. But, yeah, there's some stud offensive tackles in the draft as well. So there's so many different ways that they could go. AP talked about attacking the trenches. He said that to us when we met with him at the Conrad there in Indianapolis. And on top of that, he said that him and Tom Telesco, you know, kind of have that same theory when it comes to attacking the trenches and that how important that is. So, yeah, I mean, offensive line is something that I hadn't even really, brought up today. But that's definitely something that should be, you know, thought about it. And because they do need to solidify that at some point, right? I mean, it's been a while since they've had just a solid offensive line from left to right, right? I mean, they have pieces here and there, but it hasn't been solid. Now, I do like what Jermaine Illuminor did. I think that he stepped his game up. Paul Gutierrez brought it up earlier that he did pretty well, especially for the money that he was making. It wasn't like he was making some premier right tackle money, so I got to give him credit for that. I just think that you need to be able to bring in some of your own guys, but then also look for upgrades. And I think upgrades is fine. I don't think upgrades is a bad thing or a slap in the face to anyone, right? I think it's just, hey, these are good guys, but we all want to do a little bit better. I think that's okay with the quarterback position. I think that's with the wide receiver position. I think that's any position. Anytime you could upgrade your team, you should, regardless of who's already there. I think that's in business in general. If you can upgrade your business, upgrade it. If you can make it better, more efficient, do it. Like, why wouldn't you do it? Why would you settle, right? You do what you could do. So that's what the Raiders, especially when you've got to go up against a team like the Chiefs and you've got to try to knock them off the division title at some point, guess what? You need all the upgrades you can get. You need all the upgrades you can get. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate you. Let's see. Rick said, Christian Wilkins being a free agent, need to check his history. Only played well in contract year. Where is Link? I don't know who Link is, but okay. And that's true. Christian Wilkins had a fantastic year. Almost 10 sacks? And that's the highest amount he had this past year. I mean, again, there's reasons why free agents become free agents. You know, and John McClain says it all the time, and we've said it multiple times even on this show. You got to be careful when guys have contract years. But guys do have contract years. Sometimes they're extra motivated because, well, they're in a contract year. So it happens. If you can't go get, you know, a guy that you – like if you can't get a Byron Murphy, which is going to be in the draft, maybe you feel like, you know what, we're going to move up. We're going to go get our quarterback, so we're not going to be available to go get a Murphy or someone like that. So we're going to have to address free agency. Like Tom Telesco said, that's how we started the whole show, is him saying that he'd have to spend more free agency money than he normally would like to. But to get the Raiders in the right position – that's what they might have to do. So you will have to take a chance on some free agents. There's a chance that you sign 5 free agents and they all bomb. I mean, if you want to keep it a buck, let's keep it real. It's not just Christian Wilkins, it's anybody. Hell, look at Josh Jacobs. He went for 1,600-plus yards contract year. Then last year went for less than 1,000. That doesn't make me think that he's not a good running back. He had a point to prove in 2022. He did. 2023 didn't quite work out for him, but I still think he's a hell of a back, and I think he's a priority to bring back. I mean, it's just that's the nature of free agency. You know, you take the good with the bad. You're always taking a chance when you sign a free agent. I think John McClay just said it when he joined us today. These guys are all free agents for a reason. One reason or the other. So thanks for that. Appreciate you. Rick hit us back again. Christian Wilkins sounds like a good player, but check it out. All right, we just addressed that. Cool, thank you. Scott from Ohio said, Q, I believe the trade-up needs to happen before free agency starts. That way you know who to attack, how to attack the free agent market. Yeah. I mean, I think that if they're going to trade up, they need to trade up as soon as possible anyway, just to kind of establish what they're going to try to do. even if it's only going to be their first step, like if even if they're going to go up to that spot that Sean Reed and Vic Tafer brought up, you know, the 5 to 7 range, even if they're going to move up to there, okay, that's where they're at right now. Then you can start to get an idea of what they're maybe aiming to do. And then if they end up trading up to the top 2 spot, top 2 or 3, then even better. But if not, then, okay, you know, all right, well, 5 to 7, that's probably a J.J. McCarthy range. It's probably a Joe Alt range. It's probably, you know, someone like that. Maybe a Michael Penix range. I think Michael Penix will probably drop a little bit, but, you know, who knows what the team is thinking. But I think that the trade-up definitely needs to happen. I don't think it's one of those that you need to wait until draft day, only because if you do that, then another team might swoop up and get your spot, right? There might be another team that's like, oh, well, hey, this spot's open. Let's go try to make a run at it. Then the price of doing business will be more because it's draft day. And on top of that, then another team might get you. Another team might be like, oh, hey, competing with the Raiders. All right, let's go ahead and up the ante a little bit. So I think it's better to do it now or, you know, sooner rather than later and know what kind of position you're in heading into not only free agency, but just know what you're doing when you're heading into the draft. This one's from Guareb. AQ, Guareb, getting Russell Wilson is the exact reason why we keep setting our quarterback situation back. How far is a 36-year-old quarterback going to take you then next year? Again, we're in the same predicament, picking in the draft in the middle, or even worse, and guess what more teams next year will need quarterbacks? This is the pattern and bad habit this organization cannot find its way out of. It starts to look like the same circus, different clown act. That's from Guareb when it comes to Russell Wilson. Okay, I'm trying to make this make sense. I don't think anybody is suggesting, at least I'm not, suggesting that Russell Wilson is a franchise quarterback. My only suggestion is, and the only reason I even think that the Raiders may kick the tires on him, is because of his price tag. Like, I want to be so clear on this. Because one thing that we have a habit of doing here on the show and on the station and in general is we keep asking the same question and I keep giving the same answer and it keeps getting regurgitated and I have to keep answering the same thing 1,000 times. Like, remember how many times we answered the mobility question? Felt like we did that for about 5 weeks. I don't want to keep going back to this for 5 weeks on Russell Wilson. So let me say this slowly. The only reason I would even think the Raiders would have interest is because of the price tag and because he's a veteran. So they would feel like he at least has a little bit of been there, done that experience. I by no means think that Russell Wilson is a franchise quarterback. He would be the exact definition of a Band-Aid. What? Antonio Pierce said he did not want. But if you look at a price tag that's about $1 million-something for a veteran minimum, it would be foolish if you didn't at least look at it and kick the tires on him and see what he had. He might not be that humble guy. He might be a guy that still thinks he's the end-all be-all, and I think that the Raiders would say, oh, it's a hard pass. No thanks. He might be a guy that's been humbled, and he might be desperate and might say, yeah, you know what? I'll go in there and do what I could do for the better of the team. Cool, and maybe you have something, and maybe you don't. But it doesn't cost anything to kick the tires on them. It doesn't hurt to at least sit down and talk with them. And if you decide, and when I say you, I'm talking about Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco, that he's the right guy to be a veteran in that locker room, then why not? Especially if it's cheap, if it's a cheap signing. Because then you could address other areas of your team, like defensive tackle, like offensive line, like potential linebacker. That's it. Again, no way, no shape, no form am I saying that he's a franchise quarterback and he's the guy. Again, option A, Jaden Daniels. Option B, Michael Penix. But I do realize that you have to have a veteran in the room as well. At least that's what I believe. That is it. That is all. I'm not talking about setting the organization back for years. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is going to take you to the promised land. If someone is saying that, it's not me. So that's not this show. So that statement wouldn't apply to this conversation. I'm trying to make this as clear as possible so we have no mistakes. So we understand 100% where I'm coming from. Veteran in the locker room. Veteran in the quarterback room. You might need a veteran. We saw 3 quarterbacks played for the Raiders last year. Aiden O'Connell, Jimmy G, and Brian Hoyer. You might need that veteran that could come in and at least have a sense of what the hell he's doing, as opposed to someone that's kind of looking at the deer in the headlights. That is all I'm saying. And maybe, you know what? Maybe that's Aiden O'Connell. Maybe you don't need anybody. Maybe he is cooler than the other side of the pillow, and he's figured it out, and he's going to take that next step. Now, again, Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce will come up with that answer and come up with that solution. 429 is the time. We'll get back to your calls and texts next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Yeah, you have 15 yards here and they go empty. Robertson in trouble, sacked it, back-to-back plays. This one back at the 14-yard line. Byron Murphy, who caught a touchdown pass a week ago. He's in the backfield.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Byron Murphy, stud, defensive tackle at University of Texas. The dude can get after it, man. Not only does he get after the quarterback, he does a little something-something on offense as well. He's able to get the big man touchdown. No, Byron Murphy is an absolute stud. I'm working on getting some folks from the University of Texas on here this week to talk about Murphy, talk about Sweat, talk about Xavier Worthy, who blazed the 4-2-1 40 at the Combine. He's about 6 foot. He's got that blazing speed. Could that be a later round pick? It's a little bit taller. I think the Raiders need someone that's a little bit taller with that blazing speed, especially if they were to get a guy like Michael Penix who could stretch the field. I can see that. There's no doubt, as we've talked so much and so great at length about the quarterback position, obviously we'll continue to do that. The Raiders are in search of their franchise quarterback. We know that. Aiden O'Connell could end up turning into that franchise quarterback, but I think that the Raiders are going to exhaust all options. As Antonio Pierce told us last week, that Aiden's going to have competition. And I think that's fair. I think there should be competition at every position. You know, certain guys, you know that the competition's probably already won, like a Davante Adams is a no-brainer, but at the same time, it's competition at all positions. Antonio Pierce told us that last week. It's always going to be competition, which is a good thing. If you don't have competition, you get lazy. You get lazy, your play slips. Again, that goes with any of us. You don't have any competition, you don't have anybody that's breathing down your neck, you tend to get, you know, slack off on what you're supposed to be doing. It's as simple as that. You can say that in our business, you can say that in football. If you feel like you're secure in everything that you do, then you might not try as hard. And you might just kind of mail it in on a three-hour show. We don't do that around here. There's no mailing it in. We're only as good as our last show. But Byron Murphy is an absolute dude. And he is a guy that, man, if the Raiders were to find a way to walk away with him, again, I think that would just be such a huge addition to their defense. But then the problem is, okay, so what do you do and how do you address the quarterback? It's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, there's two different positions that can upgrade your team in a major way, but you can't get both. Of course, the draft doesn't end at the first round, which is a great thing. So as long as you trust your scouting – and you go out there and go get your guys to build your team, then you're onto something. You hope that more of those, you know, those players hit. The Raiders got a little bit of contributions from their rookies last year, not a whole lot. You'd like to see them get more this year. You'd like to see Michael Mayer healthy for a full season. Like to see him be the tight end that a lot of people expected him to be. You'd like to see Chris Smith. Remember the safety from Georgia? Never really saw him outside of special teams. Would like to see him get a little bit of burn. Maybe he's a little bit of competition coming up in training camp. You know, Byron Young, got to see what he is. He was a defensive tackle out of Alabama. Can he be that guy? You know, it's a lot of questions. They've got a lot of guys that need to step up. Hell, Tyree Wilson's got a big offseason and training camp coming up. Can he build off what he did at the end of the season? Something that Antonio Pierce said he felt pretty confident that he will be able to do. Think that they feel good about Tyree, but he's got a lot to show too. So I think you started to see some of these Raiders second-year guys last year start to get some burn. Obviously, you saw what Zamir White was able to do, filling in for Josh Jacobs. I thought that was good. Younger guys aren't always going to get it right away, but you like to see them start to turn the corner. I think you started to see that with the second-year guys last year. Now you need the rookies from last year, this upcoming year, to start to turn that corner and really contribute on this Raiders team. Let's go out to Texas, talk to our guy Tim. Tim, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, how y'all doing?
Fantastic.
I was just going to say, I really do think, I know what Antonio said or whatever, but I think they should go after Russell Wilson and then, of course, draft the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind them keeping O'Connell. I mean, I wouldn't mind O'Connell starting the season or whatever. But my only thing about that is the running element. You know, how he just sit back there and he won't run. But I was just gonna ask you, like, because I know me personally, I wouldn't pay none of the cornerbacks in the NFL $20-something million, because don't none of them really do nothing for me, not even Jalen Ramsey anymore. But as far as defensive tackle goes, with the guy from Miami being coached by our defensive line coach before, or the one from Seattle having been coached by Patrick Graham before, what do you think about those guys?
Yeah, thanks, Tim, for the call. I appreciate you. You know, it's funny you mentioned the quarterbacks. It doesn't feel like there's that lockdown guy anymore, right? Now, there's guys like Xavier Howard in Miami who's been released. He, you know, he was a guy that'll go and create a lot of interceptions every year, like, you know, 8 to 10 interceptions. Somehow he gets his hands on the ball all the time. But it doesn't really seem like there's that lockdown guy anymore. It's just so hard with the rules, the way that it is set up. Like, it's almost hard for these cornerbacks to even, you know, play some real deal ball like they used to, and basically shut out wide receivers. It's like it's almost impossible to do that. So I understand where you're coming from. That's a lot of money for a cornerback position, but the money is going up for every position. It really is. So I wouldn't even really look at the money. It's only money, and it ain't ours, so we ain't got to worry about it. But getting back to your question, Christian Wilkins or Leonard Williams, I'm not very high on Leonard Williams at all. I liked him coming out of USC. I liked him at first when he was first in the league, but that kind of wore out on me. You know, I don't think that he ever really achieved where he wanted to go. And then even last year in Seattle, once they traded for him, they really got basically nothing from him. I think he's kind of at the end of his rope. He doesn't really have a whole lot that he brings to the table. I think his name is better than his game at this point. Wilkins, he had a really good year last year, as our texter pointed out. It was a contract year. You got to be careful with those guys. What, 9.5 sacks last year? He didn't get franchised by Miami. They didn't find a need to bring him back. Will they work out a deal before free agency opens? Maybe. But you do have to be careful with those guys. But I do think at 28 years old, it's worth taking a run at him and seeing what he's got, seeing if he can, you know, provide something for the next couple of years. If, in fact, you can't go get, or in fact, you don't go get, I should say, like a defensive tackle in the draft like a Byron Murphy. But there's a few options that the Raiders have for sure, and they have the free agency money to go get it. That's the good thing. And obviously they're going to have no problem using it. Tom Telesco told us that at the combine. Let's go out to H-Town. Let's stay in the Lone Star State. Let's talk to our guy, Nash. Nash, welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate it, Q. Hey, just yes, a couple of comments. Really looking forward to next week, because then we'll have something other than quarterbacks to talk about with free agency. We'll get a real good idea what Telesco's vision is. But again, just kind of a couple comments on quarterbacks to me. I mean, the first one is, again, you look at a lot of these pass drafts, and of the six guys that potentially go in the first round, you know, three are probably going to be good and three are going to be bad, and I got no idea which three are which.
Yeah,
and that's going to be Tom's job on that. And to me, the two guys that aren't getting the respect or I think are falling are Drake Mays and Penix. And with Drake Mays, I mean, again, if you look at him 2 years ago, mm-hmm. he looked great. But last year, he really wasn't that good. And when you look at the pedigree of guys from North Carolina, rather it's Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones, Sam Howell, I mean, you know, it's almost like drafting an Ohio State quarterback. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yep.
And the last thing I'll say, to me, and I texted this the other day, I don't know if you read it or whatever, but to me it's like AOC is Kirk Cousins. I mean, when you look at their college career – if you look at, like, the first 10 starts, I mean, you know, to me, they're the same thing. So, to me, it makes no sense to go get Kirk Cousins. If you're going to do that, you know, just really try to roll with AOC. And it will be interesting with Wilson, just because, again, you know, Antonio talks so much about culture. And while he may be cheap, I mean, Wilson is kind of like anti-Raider culture of bad boys. And so it'll be interesting to see that fit. But, hey, enjoy the show. Looking forward to next week.
Hey, thanks so much, Nash. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he's not the guy that's going to be in the locker room smoking the cigars and doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, he's a different dude. You know, and you could say that, oh, that's not going to fit with what they're doing. But I'll tell you what, if they're winning, everything fits. All right, that's the one thing I know. I don't care who it is. If you're helping me win, I don't care if you don't look like me, you don't sound like me, you don't party like me. It's okay. I can always use a designated driver. You know what I mean? Like, there's always room for a guy that might not be just me. Too much of me is too much anyway. Right? I mean, that's the thing about it. There's people come from different walks of life. Like, everyone listening to this show, I guarantee, is not the same as me. Right? And if we weren't listening to this radio show and talking about something that we all have common ground on, might not even all like each other. Right? We might not even all get along, and that's okay. That's how life is. Right? But we're all here for one common ground, regardless if we agree with each other or not. I think that there's a genuine respect for each other, for the most part. And that's how we roll. And that's just how it is. Like, you know, I could think one thing. I could think that me talking about Sierra on Fremont Street is funny, and someone might get offended. You know, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm gonna do me. So in the locker room, that's just how it is. Like, Max Crosby's personality is not going to be the next guy's personality. Tyree Wilson is 100% different than Max Crosby. Very quiet, not loud, not, you know, out there having a good time like that. Not amongst everybody. Now, amongst his, you know, couple people, yeah, sure. Everybody's different. So I can see, you know, him not necessarily being the exact, you know, poster child for what goes on in the Raiders locker room. But then again, you know, he might just be fine if they're winning games and he's helping them. Team might not care, right? I mean, again, I'm not in the locker room as far as in there every day, so I couldn't tell you what's going to blend and what's not. But I think that the one common goal that every player on that team has is they want to win. And I don't know if Russell Wilson could help them do that or not. Again, it sounds like by the conversation that we have that I'm just pounding the table for Russell Wilson. I'm definitely not. All I'm saying is that I think that the Raiders, it would make sense for them to at least talk to him to see what's going on, especially with the price tag. It only makes sense. Again, it's a business at the end of the day. It's not always about who's your favorite person. Zane hit us up and said, Q, you know, McClain would agree that Reeder is a rock-solid defensive tackle option behind Wilkins. Pass on Williams for me, too. Also pass on drafting a defensive tackle because we've been doing that for 2 years at the draft slot. We could realistically take a D-tackle, and they're still developing. So I'm good on drafting a D-lineman when I could sign Reeder to a mid-deal for 2 to 3 years. All right, I like that. It's a good thought. It's a good outside the box thought. I like it. Really good. Let's see. We got one more, then we'll take a break. Big Jose from San Jose. Hey, Q, would you rather have $2 million for Russell Wilson or Brian Hoyer? Enough said. I feel you, bro. Thanks for keeping it a buck. That's Big Jose from San Jose. And that's a good point. Like, who, you know, I'll leave it this, and you can respond. Would you rather pay $2 million for Russell Wilson or $2 million for Brian Hoyer? 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Getting down to closing time. It's like the last song is playing. The lights are starting to come up. Starting to make the announcement. If you're not sleeping with the DJ, you got to go home. You ain't got the number by now, you're not going to get it. Last call for alcohol actually already happened. You got to finish up your drinks. All that good stuff is happening right now at this portion of the show. Big Jose from San Jose asked the question before we took a break. Q, would you rather have for $2 million Russell Wilson or Brian Hoyer? Enough said. I feel you, bro. Thanks for keeping it a buck. I said Russell Wilson's a no-brainer for $2 million. Cisco in the 5 and Dime said, I don't like Russ for the Raiders. Just doesn't seem like a personality fit. But I do see a scenario where the team can't trade up to get Daniels or another quarterback, and they need to sign a free agent quarterback. And also, where Russ does take a vet minimum, since anything he signs to will only supplement the Broncos' portion of his paycheck. Like I said, I don't like him for the Raiders, but there are some cases where things just fall to you that way. Cisco, where have you been all my life? That is the exact answer that I've been trying to say forever. Right? I mean, that's the answer I've been trying to give forever. And clearly you were able to do it a lot better than me. Well done. That is exactly my point. Sometimes things just happen to fall that way. Is he a great personality fit for the locker room? Probably not. If they win games, will he get along? Probably. If they do, if they don't win games, will he not get along? Probably. Right? I mean, the dude's being given $85 million to go away for a reason. I mean, let's keep it real. But he's probably better than some of the options that are out there right now. And like you said, in your scenario, Raiders can't trade up to go get their guy, whoever that is. Need to sign a veteran. Maybe him or any veteran in that pace goes in there, battles it out with O'Connell in camp, and Aiden wins. And you know what? That's cool. Then you have a veteran there waiting in the wings at the veteran minimum that in case emergency break lasts, you have to throw him in there. Fine. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. We all know at training camp the Raiders will have like four quarterbacks in their quarterback room. They'll break it down to their 53 man, and they'll have probably three, right? Some teams only carry two, but now with the new rules, and you can put them on the practice squad and have your emergency quarterback, this, that, and the other. Most teams will have three. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Like I said, Cisco and the five and dime. I don't know where you've been my whole life. I need to carry you around with me and just answer that question. When someone says something, then just press play. This is the best answer to it perfectly. Johnny X, Raider Johnny X said, what up, Q and Ari? All this talk about the quarterback and that quarterback, what are we going to do at 13? All I know is this, late April can't come soon enough, and man, the NFL is real good at keeping us fans hooked like some fiends. Facts. Facts. And more facts. Really want to deep dive into some other positions, but we also know that the most important position is free agency, or is the quarterback position. And it's funny, like we started the show talking about free agency, and we end up with the quarterbacks. We talked about other positions that aren't quarterbacks, and we end up with the quarterbacks. We talk about the staff, and we end up with quarterbacks. Talk about this, that, and the other, and it ends up with quarterbacks. I guess the inevitable, you can't avoid it. Because we all know that it's so important when it comes to the Raiders in this offseason. They need to figure out who's going to be that guy. And what else are they going to do, like you said, at 13, at 44, so on and so forth. How is this team built? How are they built in free agency that starts actually next week? We'll be back tomorrow, same time. We'll have plenty to talk about. Got a great guest lineup already working on. We'll do it tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a great night.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.